Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall.
One of the metaphors that we use in our therapy and when we're whatever we're talking with a patient or with someone to encourage them to take care of themselves, encourage them to work to improve themselves, is the metaphor of the oxygen mask in the airplane. Everybody, anyone who's ever flown in a plane knows the that, you know, before they before we take off, the flight attendant will stand up front and show us how to, you know, use the seatbelt and everything. But one of the things that they talk about is, you know, in the event of an emergency, oxygen masks are going to fall from the sky, I suppose.
I'm laughing because you listen to those things every time you're on flight, right? And so finally you just tune it out. But you have the oxygen mask come down. And I wonder two things. One is, I wonder how many people remember to do that, because, you know, you hear it over and over again. But in the event then of an emergency, it's scary. And so you say, what am I supposed to do now? But the other thing I wonder about is, on my recent flight to San Diego the other day, they were talking about the life preserver, you know, and I thought, there's no way I'm going to get that right. I'm going to be blowing into the tube and not connect it right. And I've seen it 100 times. But in the event that I end up in the water, am I supposed to blow in this thing, pull something, strap it to myself, run it between my legs? I won't know what to do.
Or in the other one is, your seat can serve as a flotation device.
Crawling around on my hands and knees looking for the seat cushion.
And the other thing that, you know, is perhaps the obvious thing in that situation is, if you're flying from Florida to San Diego, you're probably not going to land in the water.
Not until the last 10 minutes, if you happen to fly over the Gulf of Mexico. But no, it's really true. I said, I hope I never have to put one of those life jackets on, because it's about 4 steps. That you do this, this, it, and sounds okay. But in the case of an emergency, I wonder if I'll get it right.
So, with the oxygen mask, they said when it falls down, the important thing is that you put it on yourself first.
It serves as a useful metaphor, because you put it on yourself first, then you can take care of the people around you.
Because you can't take care of anyone else if you're in distress. And we're pulling from an article today from our blog, PsychReg, PsychReg.org, entitled "Self-Care and Mental Health Should Be Our Priority." And what it goes into policy, it goes into a bigger picture. But it does serve perhaps as a
metaphor,
as a precursor to some of the other things we're going to talk later this week. That, you know, we really need to be thinking much more about how we're taking care of ourselves, what services are provided, what we're doing to ensure that we're going to have services available to us when we need it. But taking care of ourselves, we have to do that.
The woman who wrote this article reveals in the beginning that she has a diagnosis, a mental health diagnosis. And so while it's written from a sort of a public health standpoint, she's still saying that I need to access all those services. I need to do things for myself. And she mentions that one of the services she wants to get, she has to wait some time for. But in the meantime, I can do all these other things, is what she's saying. So I have to take care of myself in order to benefit from these things, or in order to keep myself to keep myself better. But I have to take care of myself.
Yeah, and it's over the course of the last week, I have been emailing back and forth with a listener who sent some very nice words as it relates to some of the information that we've tried to provide on the podcast, and she was very thoughtful and very nice. And but in our email communications, one of the things that we talked about was this very thing, that, you know, there is a great need for mental health services, for mental health support, and there's just gaps, and nobody is working to figure out what needs to go in those gaps.
Right. Right. Yeah, we do certainly have them in this country.
Right.
I mean, insurance coverage being mm-hmm. the first is it. But there are many, many gaps mm-hmm. in public schools, for example. Right. We have needs that are right. not being met, you know. And so, but wherever you go, you see these gaps, mm-hmm. gaps in insurance coverage, gaps in service delivery, gaps in compensation.
Right. You know?
Yeah, it's a huge problem. But the other thing that this article made me think about was there is an expectation, I believe, on the part of many patients mm-hmm. that I want you to fix me. And I think right. it came from the medical model mm-hmm. of maybe in the 1950s or 60s, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. right after World War II, where we began to get these miracle drugs.
Right.
That you started with penicillin.
Yeah.
But then over about the next 20 years after World War II, we saw these drugs come out, and we began to get this feeling that we can fix these things, that mm-hmm. there's some, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. they refer to it as a magic bullet, okay,
right.
whether it's penicillin or antibiotics or whatever mm-hmm. it is, we can suddenly fix it. Everything can be fixed. And we develop, many people develop the mindset that there are professionalists out there who can fix me.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
We saw this with autism in the early years of autism, that everybody was searching for a cure, and we would use all these various techniques to mm-hmm. to cure it. And right. now we know you don't cure autism.
Right.
I mean, it's you don't cure any mental illness.
Right.
Okay. There are no cures for these things, and the onus had been put on the professional.
Right.
To the patient, would say, "Well, I want you to fix me."
Mm-hmm.
Our field doesn't work that way.
Right.
Orthopedics doesn't work that way.
Right.
You can go in and have lots of really high quality orthopedic surgery, but if you don't do your exercises mm-hmm. afterwards,
right.
the surgery isn't going to help very much.
Well, I think that no area of medicine really works like that anymore.
But and we haven't shifted our thinking
right.
yet.
Right.
I mean, there are still people who believe that, well, I'll just go get medication, or I'll get mm-hmm. surgery, or I'll
right.
go to. Mm-mm. Doesn't
right.
work that way.
Yeah, I think that, and we're going to talk tomorrow about, you know, being more active about things as opposed to being reactive about
right.
things.
Right.
Medicine and treatment for whatever ails you has always been reactive. It's always been reactive.
Right.
We for whatever reason, we are really resistant to the idea of prevention.
Right.
Because if I tell mm-hmm. you that, you know, exercising 4 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
30 minutes each time.
Right.
Okay, so that's 2 hours out of your whole week. Out of 168 hours, two hours of exercise
right.
a week will significantly decrease your risk for diabetes, for cardio...
for most of the things that will kill you.
Exactly.
Right.
Including depression and anxiety and some of those things.
Right.
Why don't we do that?
Right. No, that
because none of those things are problems right now.
That's right.
We wait until they're a problem, and then we. But that's a discussion.
We wait
for
until we get diabetes. We wait until we
right.
have a heart problem. We wouldn't, you know, and there's so much we should be doing ahead of time.
Right.
Right. This reminded me of that because you have people who come in and say, and I've had people say to me, "Well, you haven't fixed me.
Right.
I can't fix you. You can fix. I can show you what to do.
Right."
To fix yourself,
right?
I don't have the means mm-hmm. to fix you,
right? And I think another potential seed source of how we got to here mm-hmm. was back when we used to have, and this is going to sound strange to say, I think, but when we used to do the like doctors on call that would go out to people's homes and
right.
things,
mm-hmm.
because the idea is. Your key to being better lies within the doctor.
That's exactly.
And so if you're at home and you're not well, the doctor has to come see you.
Right.
And certainly there's lots of benefits to that. And I mm-hmm. absolutely appreciate that. However, today, in
right.
your example from orthopedics and from, you know, from cardiologists and from mental
right.
health, it is very, very valid that, you know, if you want to have a healthy heart,
mm-hmm.
there are things that you have to do between sessions.
That's right.
If you want to not have depression, there are things that you
mm-hmm.
have to do in between sessions.
Right.
If you want your hips to start working, if you want to be able to walk after that hip surgery, there are things that you have to do between sessions.
And I've seen both.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it in my own family that a person will have surgery usually hip, in this hip surgery, if you don't do all the things you're supposed to do, you're not going to heal properly, right, and you're not going to get your strength back.
Right.
Whereas other relatives who did, perfectly fine, perfectly normal. But it was self-care that made the difference.
Right. And that's really the key for today, is that we have to take care of ourselves. We have to make sure that you're doing the work that you need to do. Again, this is going to bridge into our conversation tomorrow about being more active as opposed to being more reactive.
That's right.
We have to create agency. You have to take control of your life.
Right.
You have to take control of what's going on with you. Use the benefits and the recommendations and the ideas and expertise of others. But do it yourself.
That's right. We have expertise. We can tell you what to do. We can show you what to do. We can help you get there. But only you can do it. You know, we can talk about exercise. We can talk about, you know, practicing things that we talk about in our office. But at some point, you have to do it.
Right.
You are the agent.
Right. You have to care enough about yourself to be able to engage in some self-help, some self-care.
How many times have we said in the last few weeks, we were talking about mental health disorders over the past few weeks, bipolar, OCD, and we keep saying the medication will help, but it's not going to cure it. The medication will make it possible for you to do the self-care that you need to do to get better.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's message for today. Build some agency, build some drive, some intention for yourself to take care of yourself and to, you know, do the things that you need to do to be healthy and live a productive life.
And when you're working with professionals, make sure you understand what your job is.
Right.
You know, they have a task to do. You also have a task to do.
Right.
And make sure you understand that and discuss it with the provider.
Absolutely. So, all right. That's it for today then.
Good.
Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We'd be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.